Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Worthing.
Good to be together this morning. I don't know about you, but I always find when we're worshiping and when we're singing, provided we know the song, because otherwise we're just trying to read the lyrics. So I don't know if you knew the song we just played or if that's the first time you heard it, but something always happens in the room. But before that, something happens in you.
Sorry.
That's all right. We love you guys. Maybe from, I don't know how long the song was, say 4 minutes and 10 seconds. How were you before you started those 4 minutes and 10 seconds? And where were you after? Because actually we were singing truths. We were singing what we believe. We were singing. But I don't know about you. Sometimes when I hear things like that, either I go, oh, actually, I'm struggling with that. So I might go down, is probably the wrong word. But actually, what I want, and this is kind of what we're going to talk about a little bit, I don't want to lower who God is to my experience,
right?
Because
that's
he had been
right.
A little box and maybe medium size, right? Because I think I've been growing in faith. But actually, what we need to do, what I need to do is, God, who are you? I know we talked about this a few weeks ago. Who are you, God? Show me. And then I want my experience to get up to that level of truth.
That's right.
Otherwise, I'm defining what, okay, God, no, you can't do that because I've never seen that. I don't believe in that. And God's like, who are you to tell me what to do? Do you know what I mean? Thanks, Martin. You found that funny. But so if this is the word, if that is the truth, I'm not going to do that and say, no, my experience is more important or my expectation or I find that a bit uncomfortable. So actually, Lord, I don't really like that or I don't understand it. That's one. Actually, what we want to do is we want to say, well, this is the word. This is, you know, God revealing who he is. And obviously by his spirit, he wants to bring this alive. I hope that's nothing new for us to know. So my experience, I'm like, well, God, I'm here. I believe that. I don't believe that. I struggle with that. Others have seen that. I don't know where I sit with that. But if this is the truth, so equally, you're not saying I'm going up to someone else's expectation or experience. I'm going after this.
Amen.
Are you going after this?
Amen.
So whatever this says, I'm like, God, teach me your ways. Show me who you are.
Amen.
Teach me your ways. I want my experience and therefore my expectation, my faith, to come up to that level. Because that's the word. And he's faithful to his word. Like,
amen.
We'd be all day here if I were just reading scriptures on his faithfulness, wouldn't we? But so let me start with one that isn't in my notes. So Kurt, you have to wait. And then I go through my notes and you can do the scriptures. Kurt's going to do scriptures for us. In Isaiah 53, it says, and this is about Jesus, right? And hear this with, okay, this is the word. I'm just going to read the word. I'm not even going to make it up. And then we can think, okay, what's my feeling about that? What's my expectation about that? What is my, I don't know about that. So this is Jesus, okay? He actually starts, Isaiah 53 verse 1 says, who has believed our message? So that's a good start. But so who has believed? So there's a call to, is anyone going to believe? He grew up before him like a tender shoot. This is about Jesus, right? Like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering, familiar with pain. Just imagine Jesus on his way to the cross, right? This is Isaiah hundreds of years before saying, he's going to come as a suffering servant first. And he is the victorious king, but there's a journey to that victory. And then it says, still in verse 3, like one from whom people hide their face, he was despised. We held him in low esteem. And then verse 4. And God, I just pray those words would sink into our hearts because this is truth.
That's right.
And we want our hearts, our expectation, our experience to come up and align with truth. Help our hearts, help us, Lord, and forgive us where we have watered down your word, your truth,
right.
The work of the cross to, well, it kind of fits in this box and it kind of makes sense, or this is how I look at it. No, Holy Spirit, would you break out the box? God, help us not to put you in a box. Forgive us where we have and raise our hearts, raise our expectations to, wow, this is truth. Lead me, Lord. So verse 4 says, surely, good start, surely he, Jesus, he took up our pain.
Amen.
Now, if you take this Bible from me, can you just take it, Kurt? I have it no longer.
Hallelujah.
Okay, give it back to me, Kurt. Please. But when you take it, so when it says he took my pain, I don't know about you, I'm not sharing it with Jesus, half me, half you. It says he took up our pain. And then what does it say? Anyone got it open? This is audience participation. He took up our pain and?
Carried our sorrows.
He carried our sorrows. Mine says he bore my suffering. Something along those lines is what it says, right? So he took something from us, our pain. He took our pain. He bore our suffering. We considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. Can anyone read verse 5?
But he was wounded for our transgressions.
Wow.
He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed.
Amen. So he took something. He was pierced. There are transgressions here in the picture, so it's not all fluffy-duffy, right? But he took those transgressions. He was pierced for a reason, and the reason was us, right? We're doing Alpha, we said that earlier. And one of the verses, all have fallen short of his glory. And you think, oh, I've been a Christian long enough. Yeah, I'm fine. And we are because we're in Christ. But just think of the reality that without Christ, we have fallen short. And the wages of sin is?
Death.
What? Death. Wow. Okay. Right. But we are not without Christ. If we believe in him, put our faith in him, right? The word says, if we believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth that he is Lord. What happens with us? If we believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. What changes? We're saved. Saved from what?
From death.
Okay, there's lots of words. Great. Let's do one after that. We're saved from sin. Thank you, Jesus. He forgives. So the cross is about forgiveness. Wow, do I need that? Do you hope maybe you realize you need that? That's good. Someone else said death. Yeah. The wages of sin were death, but if he took my sin and if he took that sinful nature to the cross, he set me up for success. I've got a new life in Christ. Anyone else got a new life in Christ? I'm like, am I going to be the only one happier today? No, we're all happy, right? On the cross, he took my sin. On the cross, the Bible says, Paul says, Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. My old life, gone, right? The old gone, the new has come. So don't look at yourself as a sad sinner anymore. Because if you do, maybe it's good that you're here today, because the good news is he dealt with that.
Amen.
Now, we need to believe that. We need to put our faith in that. But the word said, I've been crucified. The life, I no longer live my own life. The life I now live, I live by faith in him. Amen. Right? So the old is gone, the new has come. A death's been dealt with, so he's given us eternal life. You know, what Jesus says, I've come to give fullness of life. And he doesn't just mean one day when you die, you'll be in glory, which... praise God for that. That's good. That's a hope. That's a sure and certain hope, expectation of what's there. But even now, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Mm. I have come to give fullness of life now.
Amen.
Okay, so we had sin, death. What else?
Wrath.
He dealt with the wrath of God. And I can never say it. I'm not English, right? Wrath, wrath. I don't know. But you know what it is? Because actually the word also says that outside of Christ, we are enemies of God. I don't know about you, but you're not going to win, right? An enemy of God. Without the mercy of Jesus, we are enemies of the cross of Christ, Paul says, right? But he deals with that. And that's why it says, took up a pain for us. We considered him punished by God. Well, he took my sin. So he took, and your sin, he took that punishment. He was stricken. He was afflicted. Verse 5, like Frank, you read it. He was pierced for whose transgressions? Ours. I'm like, Jesus, oh, let me see that, you know, you were pierced for my transgressions. So in some way, me and all humanity, we got him to that cross, or we're grateful he came to, you know, deal with it. He was punished, and that punishment brought us peace. Yeah, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. So that whole thing that Jesus does is on our behalf, is for us. He's standing in the gap. We know that, right? and by his wounds we are healed. So imagine Jesus going through all that. And I mean, you know, we know the story of him going to the cross, shedding his blood on the way to the cross, the crown of thorns, the beating, the mocking. And the Gospel of John says, he created everything and he came to his own and his own did not receive him, right? And so many people in the world today, some receive, some really don't want to know, right? But he still died for them.
Amen. That's right.
And Jesus hanging on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them. Why? Wow. I don't know if I would have that character. I would probably be like, send fire now, Lord, because this is hurting. Like, tell them, you know. He was like, Father, they don't understand this. And imagine some of the disciples going, oh, I thought this was going to go well. I thought this was going to end well. And he's just being killed right now. Yes. You and I know, 2,000 years later, and we've been reading this a little longer, and they realized afterwards, wait, this was the way? This was the way. Jesus wasn't just going to show up on the scene and say, right, guys, this is what we're going to do. He says, well, let me teach you a kingdom that comes from the inside out. Let me show you how to love. Let me show you how to walk. And then obviously as a suffering servant, you know, gaining the victory. But that means everything he has done is for me now. I feel like we're doing Alpha this morning. And then I'm going to get in my notes and maybe make them a bit shorter. But I feel that this is important, that we just remember the simplicity, actually, of what he's done, but also the power. But think of Jesus having gone to the cross, gone through all the pain, bless him, 30 years on this earth, then a few more years with his disciples, let's say 33 years of ministry. He's going to the cross. People misunderstand him. People reject him. He's going to the cross. And he's like, what does he say? The last thing, it is? He said, it's finished. Wow. And we know what happens after, and he goes back to be with the Father. And then just imagine with me, this is a new experiment for me as well. Just imagine 2,000 years later, some people sit there thinking, wow, can he really forgive me? And he's like, yes, I've done it. So I think the forgiveness part, we're probably, most of us will be on the same page of like, yes, the word says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. You know, John chapter 1, yeah, we're there. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. What about healing then? Because this scripture says, and this is again the thing about, it's not my experience is the top, right? I'm like, okay, my experience is here. What does the word say? So the word says, he took up my pain, he took my suffering. Kurt nicked my Bible earlier. And by his wounds, and just picture him on the cross, those wounds are my healing. He took that punishment, so I have peace. By his wounds, we're healed. We like sheep have gone astray. Each of us turned to their own way. The Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Wow. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. And then it goes on and on and on. It basically talks about Jesus. But it says in verse 11, after he has suffered, he will see the light of life and he will be satisfied. By his knowledge and my righteous servant will justify many. Who is the many? We are. This is actually not, it's not a trick question. I'm not tricking you, right? If it says by his, what does it say? By his knowledge, my righteous, or by what he has done, my righteous servant, Jesus, will justify many. He will bear their iniquities. Wow. You and me, if we put our faith in him, we are justified before God. That should give us a boldness and a confidence, right? So when it comes to, and as I said, I think the forgiveness bit is the easier one to grasp. I don't know about you, but I've struggled more with the healing side of, oh, but I've prayed and it didn't quite go how I thought. So I don't know what to do with that. Having said that, I don't know about you, but I've heard a million and more stories of people getting healed. I've seen it next to me. My dad, there's a fun story. I was younger. I had certain things not quite right in my body. And he brought me forward for healing. And he got healed. I didn't. And he's like, how does that work? Anyways, we're going to this church now. Because that was the thing. They said to God, God, you know, it was a bit of a transition time for us as a family. But they said, God, they in their own ways, they kind of said, God, we need a sign. We need it to be clear. Because there's too much going on in our heads. And other people have, everyone has an opinion. You need to make it clear. And my dad had an injury on his knee. from karate or something he did as a young person, which meant I never was allowed to do it because he got hurt. Anyways, got into music, great idea. But we got to this church 2 hours away, and my family was like, oh, it's a bit far, it's really stretching it. But let's go. Anyways, brought me forward for healing. He got healed. They were like, oh, this is all new. But something happened to them that at that point, obviously this is 20 years or so ago, at that point they didn't fully understand it, to be honest, and I hope they're not listening, that's fine. Their family didn't agree with it. So you had all this, all right, what are we gonna do now? Because I've just experienced something it says in here that, can you see what I mean? But before that, they were believers. They were going to church, they were like, they're the most faithful people. But there was a point where God said, okay, let me taste and let me give you something. You taste and see something of me. And they were hungry. They were just hungry. They were just hungry. They didn't understand it, but they knew something had happened and they knew it was God. It's like, right. So for the next however many decades, we were driving 2 hours to church. So if you did 10 minutes this morning, I congratulate you. If you were on time, I love you. And sometimes, you know, that's fine. But it did something in me of seeing other people in my life hungry for Jesus, not fully understanding it at that point, but just going to go after him. And I know it's a simple example, and we probably know better stories of people get out of wheelchairs. And I've seen so much from other people around me. But I think what we need to remember, and this is maybe where we go a little bit beyond what I've just been saying, that as a group of people, we were singing, let's be a house of miracles. Amen. Are we seeing it all the time? Not yet, but it's in there.
Amen.
So I'm hungry. If anyone else is hungry, I'm going to go after this.
Right.
Because what I don't want us to do, or what God doesn't want us to do, is just to say, oh,
that's right.
There's a healing
that's
ministry over there, Lord. That's wonderful. We bless them and we go visit them. Nothing wrong with that. But the word is not just for you. You get that page, Andy. I shouldn't rip it out, but you get that. Saren, you get this bit. And don't talk to him about that. You know, that's your bit. That's your bit. And you get this other bit. Now, obviously, when we come together, I shouldn't get distracted. Let's come to DNA for that. When we gather together, God might work through different ones of us in different ways. You might have a word. You might pray for healing. Fun. Let's do it. You know, if we all get a word, we are here all day, because there's quite a lot of us. So God might give one person more of a word. One person says, I think our faith for healing. That's how the Holy Spirit operates, right? 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. But this is for you. This is for all of us. So everything in here, or everything in Christ, the word says we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Who is we? Okay, I just want to make sure you know you're included. Like, what is every spiritual blessing? I think it's a lot. I think it's more than I'm currently grasping. I think it's more than my experience tells me that I have. Thank you, Caroline, for smiling. You're encouraging. What does Paul pray? He says, I forget what lies behind.
Right.
What does he do?
Right.
He presses on. Vicky's also with me. Come on. He presses on.
Amen.
But I don't know about you. Sometimes in my experience, I do, oh, should I pray? Oh, I default back to, oh, it didn't happen once. Or I felt his presence, but that person didn't get healed. But what am I going to do now? What am I going to do? Well, I can do different things. I could default back to, bless you, that's really sad. Or I could say, right, let's press on.
Amen.
Let's press on.
Come
Thanks, Andrew. You're with me too. I love that.
Amen.
We press on. That is a decision we all have to make in our hearts. And there's no rush. God will help you. You need to choose that. But it's also something we want to do all together, to choose to press on.
Amen.
Now, I'm running a little bit ahead, but I'm very passionate about this, as you can probably tell. And I have a real, you talked about the shepherd. I know I have a shepherd's heart. So I'm always going to come from a loving perspective, because I know I don't want to just come up to you and say, okay, Kurt, you need to get healed right now. And then it doesn't work. Okay, let's move on. It didn't happen. That's not very loving. Some people do that, and we love them. We love everyone, right? We love people. But when I pray for Kurt, I don't know if there's something you need healing for. Let's assume there might be. I'm going to be very kind. I'm going to be loving. Because God so loved the world. Jesus has established the victory. I don't need to strive to make it happen.
That's
I don't
right.
need to go to a cross.
Right.
It's already done. It's already happened, right?
Okay.
So, and Alpha does this very well. When they train people for the prayer, Holy Spirit weekend, they say, you're kind of like the postman. Yeah, you're just delivering the parcel. Right, Kurt, you need healing. There you go. Wait, actually, I'm receiving it from the depot. Yeah. Sorry, bear with me. This is fun, right? Here you go. Be healed.
I am healed.
Okay, so what did Jesus say when he... he did it in different ways, right? What's his kind of main way when he had someone in front of him who wasn't well? What did he do? What did he say?
Be
healed. Yeah. What do you want? Yeah. So sometimes he asks, he says, so what do you want from me? I mean, Jesus, it's not obvious. He can't walk. Like, can you see? But what do you, what? So he was trying to pull on something. Kurt, what's in your heart? Do you, not me, obviously, Jesus being like, do you believe? And there's some stories, and I find this beautiful. And in one gospel, I think it's Mark, it's actually next to each other, those stories. One gospel, one story, the person's struggling with, can he heal? And Jesus says, yes, I can. The other story is, are you willing? I know you can. I don't know if you want that for me. So Jesus is pulling on that person. He's like, okay, what's in there? Whatever's in there, let it come out. We can deal with that out, you know. So let's say, Jesus, I think you can. And probably most of us would say, well, Jesus is all powerful. He can do anything, right? So probably for most of us, that's not the struggle. Maybe the struggle is, but I don't know how to get it. That was always often my thing. Or I was going to say, I don't know if you want to heal me. Do you love me? Mm-hmm. Right? So it's really okay to go back to basics and actually, well, Father, thank you for your love for Kurt. But you might be honest and say, actually, I just don't know how to get it. I don't think I'm good enough. Well, okay, let's deal with that then, because Jesus, this is not about whether we're good enough. I know I'm teaching you like basics, but I'm just trying to go back to simple, because it's not about whether Kurt's good enough. It's not about whether I'm good enough. That's the postman. I'm just the postman, just doing my job. The Royal Mail. That's quite good. Kingdom Royal Mail. Just made that up. Plug. Anyways, that's quite good, isn't it? It's kingdom, but we are royal priesthood.
Amen. That's right.
So and this is not bigging me up, it's bigging Jesus up, and you are this too. I'm an ambassador
Amen.
From a heavenly kingdom
Amen.
With heavenly riches in Christ.
Amen.
And I'm like, what do you need, Kurt? There you go. Right? I don't have to strive. I just believe. Right? And now maybe you're thinking, oh, that sounds actually quite good. Are we going to pray and try it? We can do that later. But I want our hearts to be positioned, because it might still not always happen how we expect. But let that not hold us back.
That's
and
right.
I, in my own life, you need to resolve those things in your heart. Like, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to pray. I know, and some of you might know Todd White. I think it was 900 people he prayed for that didn't get healed. And then something broke and everyone just got healed. Great. Wonderful. And we love him. Like, what he sees happening is so cool. What about the 900 or whatever? It was a ridiculous number. It wasn't 1,000. It was just before, as far as I remember. What about all those people where he just felt the love of God so strong? He felt, you know, it says Jesus had compassion on them. He saw the crowds, they had compassion, and he healed them. So it has to be love. It has to be compassion. But God worked such compassion in that man. If you don't know him, go on YouTube. He's cool. And he does this a lot. But what does he talk about a lot? The love of God. Of course, you can give us a workshop on, you know, how to pray for people that need healing, which does. But he would probably still start with, God so loved
Amen.
That he gave, and he wants to give it to you now.
Amen.
So where, and maybe we can pray just a moment now before we go through some other things. But Lord, where we've not seen and now we're holding back, or where we don't understand, or we overcomplicate, like, what's the formula, what's the wording? It's
mm-hmm.
not that. It's just what Jesus did on the cross. Lord, I pray right now you would help us move beyond that. Help
Amen.
Us, for like Paul prays in Galatians 3, help us to throw off, help us to leave behind, forget that in the right way, like, okay, park that, and we're moving on. I just want to declare that over us as a congregation, as a church, as Kingdom Faith in the whole region, every area, people all over, that in our hearts and our DNA, we're going after you, and we're going after everything that you've done, everything that you've given. We don't want to water it down. We're just going to have a go. And if we need to pray 900 times, hopefully it's less. But Lord, if we pray once, it doesn't quite, or half. Okay, great. Let's pray again. Let's pray again. Let's love one another again. Well, thank you that you do something in our hearts and our spirits today even, where we are moved to, you know what? I'm going to reach out for what lies ahead. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
So as I just said, we want to walk with love. And if I'm praying for Kurt and it didn't quite happen how we were both expecting, because we were pumped right now, right? And we are praying. And if it, do you know what we're going to do? We're not going to give up. But you know what I'm not going to do? I am not going to judge him. And hopefully, he's not going to judge me. Because otherwise, what am I doing? I'm looking at myself. Oh, I'm not good enough. I wasn't in faith. Well, that's not going to build you up. And that's not Jesus' language and heart for you. I'm also not going to say, oh, Kurt, there must be something wrong in your life. Now, sometimes there are things, and we're not going to go into that now, where God actually says, well, you need to forgive a certain person in your life. And there's so many stories of someone coming to a place, okay, God, I forgive that family member. Because we even know someone, she works in a cafe where we often, you know, where we go. And she, when she is a family member, I won't say what it is, some of you know her, but when she thinks of that person, she can get so tense and angry, and it literally triggers physical symptoms in her body. She had months of pain, and the doctors don't know how to deal with it. And she realized, right, and she's a Christian, so, okay, I need to forgive that person. And as she does, her body literally relaxes, and she's out of pain. And I did laugh, which I probably shouldn't have done, but I found it, I feel sorry for her, but also I find it quite funny that God's message of you need to forgive is actually connected to her living in wholeness, yes. Right? Anyways, I want to show you a picture. Are you still with me? Yes. Anyone falling asleep? I'm going to pray for you right now. No, can you show that picture, the castle actually? So I don't know if you can see that. I think it's all right. Don't worry about the scripture, just a nice text. We found it online. But God said something to us when we stumbled over this picture. And he talked to us about us as a church. You know, we talked about we're a house of prayer, a house of worship, and as we were singing earlier, a house of miracles. And we felt God was speaking to us about, you know, look at this fortress. What does the psalmist say? God is a fortress. He's a place of refuge. He's a place of shelter. Anything around that, there's so many descriptions. And there's lots into about that. We prayed about the last prayer meeting we had. I won't go into that now, but the towers, the strength and how far you can see, but also the foundations you need to have and all wonderful things. And this is us, you know, in one sense, it's your own life. You want to be a strong believer. You want to be confident. God is, you know, on the inside of her. But then as a people, we are a house, right? And the house is made of a body. You're living stones, so you could see this as a temple of God. But what I love about this picture, it's like a fortress. There's a strength. And obviously, Pastor Clive, our senior pastor, he loves this phrase. He always talks about a kingdom stronghold, like a fortified, strong, healthy place where church is a safe place. And yes, it is like a sheep pen. But it's also a place of, you know, we are in a battle, right? It's a place of war, but this is a safe place. This is a place of strength. Obviously, lots more in that. There's training, there's equipping, there's truth, there's all those things. But just connecting this with something we talked about the last few weeks. And we talked about, what did we talk about? God as a refiner. God as a refining fire. So we've been, and we probably still are, in a process where, you know, in our series on the names of God, he is the refiner, so he cleanses our hearts. He goes a bit deep and something's uncomfortable. But I also know scripturally that the fire is also the passion of God. The fire is also a zeal for God. You know, about Jesus, he overturns the tables. I won't do it to you, Andy. Jesus overturns the tables and the tea was flying over you. And the pigeons are running, flying around. And Jesus is cleansing the temple in John chapter 2. And what do the disciples say about him? Oh, we remember the scripture. Anyone know the scripture? That's what Jesus says, it's a house of prayer. But the disciples are like, oh, have you remembered? It is said in the Psalms that zeal for my house will consume him. Wow, Jesus was on fire. He wasn't just coming in, oh, we should probably. He was, and again, there's, you know, zealous can also go off track, but truly passionate, if that makes sense for now, truly passionate and inflame, ablaze on fire for God, that is not necessarily a soulish place. I could hype you all up in your soul and we can all get excited, walk out and, oh, the weather's bad. Oh, no. But if you are truly on fire for God with the Spirit, it's a picture of fire too in the Bible. I don't mind if the weather's good or the weather's bad, if something good happens, something bad. I'm going to love God. I'm going to praise God. It might rain. It might be cloudy. I'm going to worship him. The world might fall apart. I know he's on the throne. And for some people, that looks like naive. For others, they're like, no, there's faith stirring in you. There's courage. Now, what are some characteristics of the Holy Spirit? Anyone want to throw something out? Something he is or he does?
Comforter.
He's comforting. So in the midst of pain, there can be a fire, and this is maybe a funny picture, but a fire of comfort, a strength. What else is he? Who else is he?
Joy.
My world might be falling apart. And sometimes we have gone through difficult situations in the last half year, and personally, health-wise and stuff. I can still have joy. I can, my joy does not, but it's again, it's a decision and it's something we need to resolve. If your joy depends on your circumstances, you're on a roller coaster, and we all are at times. But what God intends in this fortress, right, is that there is a strength of joy. Amen. Of course, I might get knocked sometimes, but deep down, it's the spirit of joy.
Amen.
That's bubbling up where I can praise God. What else is he? Holy Spirit. He reveals truth. So in a world of confusion where there's lots of narratives, I say, Holy Spirit, what's the truth? What's my anchor? What's my, you know, his hope, his truth is an anchor for our soul. Anyone else?
Jesus' real peace,
and he's the spirit of peace. So think fruits of the spirit, his peace. So the world, again, it might be chaos. In there can be peace, right? The punishment that brought us peace was on him. So we could go on and on and on. But think of that fire. Just imagine this kind of fire in your heart. Imagine this fire. Maybe it's small. Maybe it's really bright. Maybe something in between. But in that fire is who God is. The word says he is an all-consuming fire, right? So in that, all his qualities is love, is joy, is peace, is patience. Ooh, I need that patience to burn. Holy Spirit, burn in me. Sometimes I need patience. I need faithfulness. He wants us to be committed and do it long-term. God is not interested in short, overnight success and bye-bye again. God wants faithfulness.
Amen.
He desires faithfulness in the innermost parts in the womb, the psalmist says. This is nothing from my notes right now, so I just wait until the slates come up. But I just feel like God wants us to understand this fire is not just, oh, that's nice imagery. I need this to burn. But what does Paul say to Timothy about fire and this flame?
Fan
it. So him having to tell that young man to you get a brownie later. No, I'm joking, no, we don't have brownies. So imagine Paul, and who is Timothy? He's young, yeah, but he's leading a church. He's doing some stuff. But he obviously was in need of some encouragement. So if you're in need of encouragement, you qualify for this, right? And what's Paul saying? Timothy, fan into flame. Fan into flame. And what else is he talking about in that letter? I was reading the last few days. There's opposition, there's challenge, people are disagreeing, this person's falling out, people have deserted Paul. It's not fluffy clouds and have some more fire. This is war. This is like, I don't know, maybe Timothy wants to give up. I don't know. I haven't asked him. But this is this, right? Fan into flame. Fan into flame. Okay. What do I need to fan into flame? Courage. Right. Truth. Staying truth. Fan into flame peace. Fan into flame joy. So walking with Jesus, walking with the Holy Spirit. I do this every day and I encourage you to do the same. It might look different on any given day, but I need to get up and I need to get in there with God because otherwise the day kind of takes over and I'm in a roller coaster and I'm not that keen, actually, to be honest. I'm happy for someone else to enjoy the ride. I'm like, Holy Spirit, I want to be ablaze. I want to be on fire. And then the word says, fan into flame the gift of God. And that's the bit where it talks about because the spirit God gave us is not this and it is that. What is it not? It's not a spirit of fear. So if you're afraid, we're even praying this morning in prayer meeting, if there's fear trying to come on you, what are we going to do? What are you going to do if you're getting a bit overwhelmed, afraid?
Tell it to leave in the name of Jesus.
You're taking authority straight away. That's brilliant. Any other offers? No, I think that's pretty good. We'll go with that, Andy. Because Paul says, the spirit God has given you, the person on the inside is not a spirit of fear. So if fear is trying to come on you, so I've been walking this through a while back, so I'm talking out of my own experience. I could just retreat, but the thing is, fear has never enough. So if you retreat a little, if you give in a little bit, it wants a little bit more. So what we need to do, we need to rise up.
Amen.
Like, I'm not having it. I'm just not having it. Now, you can shout and scream or you can just say it quietly. I don't mind what you do, but you need to take authority and says, I have not been given in spirit of fear and I'm fanning into flame. It might take a bit longer at times, but I'm going to fan into flame and I'm not going to have that because the spirit God has given me is of, three words.
Spirit of love.
Love. And someone else?
Sorry.
Yes. Love, power, and a sound mind. That is what I want to be on fire with. And so a phrase God has given us, which is my point, we feel God has been saying to us, yes, engage with a fire of purifying, engage with Him as a refining fire, but let that passion rise. Amen. Do not quench the Spirit, He says.
Amen.
When we quench the Spirit, we're kind of half happy. And this, I'm going to do this. Sometimes we do this, right? We sit in the prayer meeting, we sit in this, and I'm like, ooh, I have something stirring. And then we just kind of, and sometimes it's right because it's not the right place. There's time for this, there's time for that. There needs to be order. But so often, like, let's say Andreas leading the service of the prayer meeting, and you might say, if you have something, pray it out. Anyone know that moment? Because it has happened. If you have something, pray it out, and you're sitting there going, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Do I have it? Do I have it not? And the more you think about it, the more you know already you're kind of shutting your flame down. Now imagine with me a people ablaze, right? There's order. There needs to be order. There is order. But not to quench the Spirit, but say, I think I have this word. I think I might have that scripture. Or go back to our topic, stay on track, Kai. I think I want to pray for healing for someone. You can choose. You can now either quench that flame or you can say, do you know what? Safe space, right? We all love each other. Can I have a go? Kurt, can I pray for you? I'm just going to do it, right? And just the stepping out, like Peter stepping out of the boat, we have to, if we want to see God move more and stretch into a new space of God moving, individually or together, we have to resolve to just go for it,
amen.
Right? In an environment of love, and if you're praying for people all the time and we actually have some other things to do, Andrea or myself might say, okay, Andy, you're getting a bit excited. That's wonderful. Can we just also talk about, right? Let's sing to Jesus a bit. No, do you know what I mean? I know I'm making fun. So there is order. And let's, in that, and back to refine us fire, in that, as we are like stretching a bit, like, okay, God, let's be open for, dare I say, correction. Let's be open for, okay, I'm going to be humble. I'm going to go for it, but I'm going to be humble. So if I'm going to be a bit tough on Kurt and someone says to me, you need to pray in love, I'm not going to react and say, hey, you don't tell me how to pray, because God told me how to pray and it has to be rough. We'll journey with that when we get to it, because I can already think of testimonies anyways. But actually, let it all be done in love. Do you know what I mean?
Amen.
So God said, steward your flame. Steward means you say no to some things. If you steward your finances, you will say, oh, I can't spend the money on that. So no to some things. But we definitely say yes to some other things. Stewarding is about positive management, right?
Right.
So what does it mean to steward our flame? What does it mean to steward our flame? In my own life, I need to make sure my day doesn't take me over. I want to make sure I'm alive. I'm believing. Right, God, I'm going to pray for people today. Today I'm going to lay hands on someone to get healed, and I'm just going to go for it. That is me fanning into flame the gift of God. The truth, I'm reading the word. Right, Lord, I find this a bit dry, but help me, Holy Spirit. Fanning into flame. Right, let's read. I don't want to rev you up in the soul. I want you to taste a little bit of fire that I hope I'm bringing. But what does it mean for us together? I'm actually going to read a scripture now, Kurt. It's Hebrews. It's further down. It is Hebrews 10. After it says, steward the fire, Hebrews 10, this is talking about us as a people. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast to the confession of hope. So the writer of Hebrews is really, you know, charging those believers. Without wavering, for he who promises faithful. God, this is who you are. This is who you are. I'm going to hold fast to that. I'm not going to waver. And then he says, and let us consider how we stir up one another. I'm doing that right now, hopefully. And I want us all to go, hey, that's not just for whoever's doing a bit in the front, because actually we don't even like the fact that there's a front. We want it to be like a massive living room where this is about all of us. And it says, let us stir up one another. So you might be running with something in God. You might be like, you know, a series on the names of God. You might be like, hey, you know, I saw God provide. Go around telling people that He's your provider. You just had a provision, right? This is encouraging. That's why we share testimonies. Because it's nice and we're celebrating, but also I want what she had. Not that I need a promotion, right? But I want God to provide. And do you know what we can do? Thank you, Lord, you provide for me. Because what is true for her in here is true for me.
Amen.
I just need the royal mail to show up, right? I'm oversimplifying, you know what I mean? So with healing, can we stir one another up? Because he is Yahweh Rapha. The Old Testament reveals him as Yahweh Rapha. And in that time, they've just crossed the Red Sea. They're delivered out of Egypt. They're trying to wrestle with life. And God wants to shape us as a nation. And they're going through different ways of God revealing himself as the victory, as the one who provides for them. They don't have water. They don't have food. God, you know, and there's a lot of grumbling, so they need some refining fire. But basically, there's a point when Exodus 15, he reveals himself as, I am the Lord who heals you, right? And obviously we read the bit about Jesus. Jesus fulfilled that, made it available to all of us. Now what we want to be doing, we want to stir one another on. Let me give you another scripture, just the next one up, Kurt. 1 Thessalonians says, it's very simple, but we still need to do it. Therefore, encourage one another. Can you just turn to your neighbor and say, be encouraged.
Be encouraged.
Find a neighbor. You've got too many neighbors.
Be encouraged.
And build one another up. Build them up. Encourage them. So the other phrase God gave us and as we were praying, can you put the thing on? It says, watch your words. Steward the fire, watch your words. And when we were praying, I know there's lots of things we could talk about, but one of the key things I believe to quench and stop the fire and to squish it out is when we start talking negative, if we're grumbling. That might be in our hearts, that might not even be out loud. And you know what? Holy Spirit, help us. Let's be humble, let's be loving, let's journey this well. God, deal with the things in my heart. Just leave that up, Kurt. I'm just going to read another scripture where Jesus, we all know this, right? Where Jesus says, out of the innermost things of the heart, here, Matthew 15, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. So if you find yourself being negative about someone else, well, ouch, something in your heart. So God, cleanse my heart. James 3 says, you know, out of the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, this ought not to be so. ESV. This ought not to be so, my brothers. James talks about the tongue like a small rudder of a massive ship. It might be a massive ship blown by strong winds. Yeah, just leave that up, Angelica. Thank you. It might be a massive ship, but it's the tongue. It's that little bit in your mouth. Don't bite it. It hurts. It's like a spark that can set a whole forest on fire. Now, James in that moment means that as a negative, but I think we can also say in a positive way, the spark of fire, of encouragement, of blessing, of spurring one another on, that's what we want. But when God says to us, steward the flame, he means look after it. So look out for us together as well as individuals. Let's look after our words. Let's look after our hearts when we come here on a Sunday. I'm imagining this sometimes. I'm a bit of an imagining person sometimes. I'm like, God, what would it be like when we come here on a Sunday and we've all got a word? Not because we want to be here all day talking. Do you know what I mean? But I'm buzzing. I'm praying. God, I've got something. I've got a word. I'm going to bring it. And it might be a one-to-one. I might just have a word for Andy of encouragement of, hey, God's faithful. And you might be like, oh, wow, I just needed to hear that. Well, that's what Paul says when he says, you know, pray in the Spirit and then pray with English words because, you know, you want to encourage and prophesy. It might be, and Fred has this sometimes, we're praying and he just brings a scripture and then it becomes the whole prayer meeting in the start of the service. We had this a few weeks ago, I don't know if you remember, Fred, about Pentecost, Acts 2, you're reading it, they're all in one accord, the fire comes and you were like, we need to be on fire today. But you know when someone really carries it from God, it's not just a nice word.
That's right.
I can feel that energy coming to me because God, his words, and again, in scripture, just leave that up though. His words are spirit and they are life. Hebrews 4 says, God's word is living and active.
Amen.
And then obviously classic Romans 10, faith comes from
hearing.
So if we want to stretch out in God, it's going to be this. But it's not just, it's just a lot of words in here. It's Holy Spirit. This is what I'm going to go for. This is what I'm going to live for. So I'm just going to close with bringing us back to Yahweh Rapha. But before I do, if I can do one more scripture, John 11, you can bring that up. It's one of the letter ones. John 11, we find someone who's kind of believing, but they're wrestling. But then Jesus makes a statement. And then we're going to pray. And Martha said to Jesus, so Lazarus has died. It's her brother. So it's he hit home. This hits home, right? This is not just a theory for someone out there. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd only been there. Right? And actually, you know, Jesus took 4 days to get there. He wept. Jesus wept. Shortest verse, I'm told. Shortest verse in the Bible. So there was compassion. There was emotion. This is not just, you know, a bit of text. Just, Lord, if you'd been there, my brother would not have died. Is she in faith? Well, this is her faith. This is where her faith is at. Jesus, I've seen you heal so many people. When you were there, this happened, that happened. I don't doubt that if you'd only been there. So her faith capacity was that. I don't know. You know what I mean? What Jesus was trying to address was this bit. He's like, ooh, let me take you further. Lord, if you'd only been there, this wouldn't have happened. My brother would not have died. I have faith in you. This is what I would have believed. But then she says, and this is the point of choosing to go further. She says, but even now, I know. That, I mean, that's faith, right? Now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give it to you. So Jesus said to her, and this is a bit of the conversation. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know. Thank you for comforting me, trying to comfort me. He will rise again at the resurrection on the last day. That's in the future. I know I will see him. What's the next bit of the verse, Kurt? Because Jesus meets her at that point, and he said to her, I am, not me, he is. Jesus saying, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though they die, yet they live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And he's drawing it out of her. Come on, Martha, you can do this. We believe together. He is the author and the perfecter of faith, but he is not afraid to wrestle with us, right? And help us wrestle through. So Martha's like, oh, I would have believed if you were here. And then he says, okay, I am the resurrection and the life. Not just one day, but now I am here. Oh, my puppy fell down. I am here. I am the resurrection of the life. And what we're going to do, we're just going to play that song again, if that's okay. We're going to play that song again, House of Miracles. And we're going to just picture Jesus as, Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life. Amen. And I want to encourage you to sing it in two ways. Sing it as, God, I believe this for me. But somehow at the same time, I hope you can do this. We're also affirming that for us as a people, that this house Amen. Is a house of miracles. Amen. It starts with, this is a house of worship. This is a house of praise where everything of darkness trembles and we declare your praise.
Amen.
And we just declare that, right? And come alive in the name of Jesus. Obviously, the story, the Old Testament, you know, God gives Ezekiel this vision of these bones. And he says, can these bones live? Again, he's asking a question. He's like, hey, let's go on this journey together. God doesn't say, oh, you don't, you know, whatever. He's like, no, let's do this together. I'm the author of faith. He's not trying to stir our soul and then go up and down. He's saying, come, guys, let us burn. Let us burn for him. Let us fan into flame faith. True faith. So I'm just going to pray. Father God, I thank you. Father, I thank you that you are so for us, that you are so for us. And right now, Lord, we just, I don't know if this makes sense to you, but we declare war on where our head's going. Oh, I don't know. Like, I'm feeling this in my body. I'm sick. I've got this diagnosis. We declare war on it because we want to fan into flame faith. We're going to love each other and thank God for the medical profession. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying we can't engage with that at all. We're doing that ourselves. We've had certain challenges and we are both praying and we're being kind of wise in the way that we believe is right before God and all of that. You know what I mean? But God, I want to fan into flame. I want to live above and not beneath. And that's what you have for me. And Lord, I thank you for all of us where we've experienced one thing, but not another. Lord, we just want to adore you right now. We want to look at you as Yahweh Rapha, the God who heals. And we declare that let our experience come up to the truth of your word. To the truth of your word. Let our experience come up to that. And Lord, give us such boldness that I don't know if it's going to work, but what's the best that can happen if I pray for Kurt right now? What's the best that can happen if I share my faith right now? What's the best that can happen if I have this scripture burning in my heart? And I'm like, I think I need to say something. And you should maybe go up to Andrea and say, I've got this scripture. And if there's life, we will have a common witness. And we're like, right, let's go. And that can release such power in the room, not because it's your words, because it's the words of Jesus.
Amen.
But the Bible says, fan into flame. So if you're able and physically able, let's stand together and let's just for a moment pray and then sing the song. Is it ready? Song's ready? Yeah, we do communion after. We communion as part of that. And Lord, I thank you. Let's stand if you can. Lord, as we sing this song, I pray that something breaks in the spirit, breaks in our hearts, that we're like, God, we're moving forward. We're declaring this. I might not be seeing it yet, but I'm declaring it. And this is our new reality. And then we're going to have communion together. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.